We are going to take a pause on our series through Mark, and we're going to go to John, because I think more than a passage about the Sabbath, we need a passage about the empty tomb. So we're going to be in John 11 today, and we are going to fix our eyes on the truth and the reality that holds our lives up all the time, but especially right now. We're going to lift our eyes up to behold the resurrection, to behold the one who is the resurrection, King Jesus. He is the anchor for our souls. He is the rock for our feet. He is our very present help in times of trouble, and he's our living hope. So we're going to see him in John 11, in one of the great and unforgettable passages from Scripture, where Jesus raises Lazarus, his friend, from the dead. And there are so many reasons that this passage speaks right to the hearts and souls of our church right now in this moment. In it, we see Martha and we see Mary, and they're grieving the death of their brother. We see Jesus, and we see his tender and his strong love for them. And we see a moment that nobody but Jesus understands why he is doing things the way that he is doing. Now, his purposes and his ways are beyond understanding in this passage as they are to us right now, but in the midst of their confusion, in the midst of their grief, Jesus meets them and he sustains them and he comforts them with eternal truth to stand on and with his own presence and life to lean on. And so our main idea for today is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So we're going to read today John 11, starting in verse 1, which says this. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed with ointment, the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Down in verse 17, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and he's calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have they laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man also keep this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and there was a stone, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would comfort us today as you comforted Mary and Martha and everyone else that was there that day at the tomb of Lazarus. Would you give us your precious truth, and would you give us your strong and tender care today as we look to you? We pray this in the name of Jesus, and we pray it for your glory. Amen. So out of all of the really meaningful and relevant things we see in this passage, I want to spend most of our time today hearing the teaching of Jesus in this moment, this teaching that he is the resurrection and the life. John, in his gospel, gives this purpose statement for why he wrote in John 20:30, and he says, "Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these signs are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." So this is why John is writing, so that we would see Jesus, that we would believe in Jesus, and that by believing we would have life in his name. And throughout the Gospel of John, we see this purpose unfold through many different signs where Jesus is using miracles, but he is teaching deeper things about himself. He's teaching transcendent truths about himself and about his ministry, about his purpose on earth. Now, he feeds literal bread to the 5,000, and then he says, "I am the bread of life," revealing that he satisfies our souls in a way that's deeper and fuller and more lasting than the way that bread satisfies our hunger. He heals a man born blind, and then he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, Jesus, beyond giving the blind physical sight, he actually gives us true sight. He helps us to see God, to see our sin, to see the gospel, to see the Lord, the glory of God. And here again, we have a sign miracle. Lazarus is raised from the dead, and he is raised literally, physically, right in front of these crowds of people. The miracle of Lazarus' resurrection, though, is not ultimately meant to stop with Lazarus. This is not a one-off moment. It is a sign. It's a pointer, and it points to something deeper. And when we see the resurrection of Lazarus, we are meant to see not just Lazarus raised from the dead, but we are meant to see the resurrector. We are meant to see Jesus, and we're meant to learn something about him. That he has the power, and he has the will, and he has the plan to resurrect many sons and daughters. Now, this story does not stop with the resurrection of one man. It shows us Jesus, who is himself the resurrection and the life. This is the transcendent truth that the resurrection of Lazarus demonstrates. And this is the truth. This man, Jesus, he is the one that we need to fix our eyes on, and we especially need to do that today. So we'll pick up our passage in verse 17. In verse 17, we see Jesus arrive in Bethany. His friend Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, and many of the Jews from Jerusalem had come out, and they're mourning his death and comforting his sisters. And when Martha hears that Jesus has come, she goes out to meet him, and she says to the Lord, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you." Her statement here is so full of faith, but also confusion, as deep emotion here. For one, she holds fast to her belief that Jesus could have healed Lazarus. He had the power to do it. And she holds fast to her belief that the Father will do anything that Jesus asks the Father to do. Now, at the same time, she's overwhelmed with grief for her brother, and she's confused about why Jesus, though he could have healed Lazarus, did not. So she holds fast to her confidence in who Jesus is, and she's in this utter state of grief and confusion. But she clings to Jesus. Now, she knows him, she loves him, and she ultimately trusts him even in the midst of these things. And Jesus responds to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now, there are two really amazing things wrapped up in the statement of Jesus. The first is that Lazarus, as one who has believed in Jesus for forgiveness and salvation, he will be raised on the last day unto eternal life along with every believer who has ever lived to enjoy God in his perfect presence forever. And this is an amazing truth that brings us great comfort. Now, we can say with genuine confidence that every single person who has faith in Jesus, who follows Jesus, will rise again. They will be resurrected on that last day. And Jesus comforts her with these words. She says, "Your brother will rise again. And we will rejoice together with him in the presence of God." And Martha gets this. Martha says, "I know that he will raise again in the resurrection on the last day." What Martha does not understand is that Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead today, right before her eyes. She believes generally that there will be a resurrection one day, but Jesus takes this moment to share directly to the heart of this grieving sister that he himself is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. And in this moment, as Jesus stands before them, resurrection is coming with Jesus because he is the resurrection. We read this in verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world." So there will be a resurrection on the last day. And more than that, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, these seven words are everything for the Christian. Right? The foundational truth that Jesus is describing, the foundational truth of the entire Christian faith, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, since Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden, all mankind has been born under sin, born under the curse of death. As Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And our perfect, righteous, holy God requires a perfect, righteous, holy people, and we are all far from righteous on our own. But God the Son came to earth, he took on flesh, he took on humanity, and he lived a life totally unstained by sin, fully in accordance with the perfect standard of God. But he died a brutal death on a Roman cross, and he took on his shoulders the full wrath of God for us. For me, that he died the death that every one of us deserves for our sins so that we can be free and clear from the consequences of our own sin because he loves us. Now, though we were sinners and rebels, though we were his enemies, he died for us when we were at our absolute worst because of his amazing love. And here is the amazing news. Now, the amazing hope news that gives us hope today: Jesus did not stay dead. Jesus did not stay dead. On the third day, he rose again, literally, physically, bodily, at the pinnacle of history. He defeated death. Death could not hold him in the grave. The light of the world broke forth from the tomb in majestic glory unto eternal life and an eternal kingdom that is perfect, holy, and has no end. There is an empty tomb right now in the Middle East that shouts, "Alive! Alive, Jesus is alive." And not only did he defeat death himself, but he defeated death for everyone who believes upon him for eternal life. Romans 6:5 says, "If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, he took the punishment that we deserve, and he gives us the reward that he deserves, namely resurrection and eternal life with God forever. And this is why everything in history before Jesus points forward to the resurrection, and everything after the resurrection of Jesus points back to it. Everything hangs on the resurrection. How? First, the resurrection validates everything that Jesus said, and it proves that he is who he said he is. We can trust all of his promises because he has fulfilled his greatest promise, the promise that only God himself could deliver by rising from the dead. But the resurrection also secured everything that God has promised his people in defeating death for us and resurrecting us with him. Jesus' own resurrection is the foundation and is the guarantee of our faith. And pulling that back into the story of Lazarus, the resurrection of Jesus is the center of what Jesus reveals to Martha in this moment. And he is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And that miracle does not end with itself. It is a sign, something that Mary and Martha and Lazarus and everyone there and everyone here, everyone who ever reads the Gospel of John is going to see, and it will demonstrate the power of Jesus, the identity of Jesus, what Jesus is doing. The resurrection of Jesus is a foretaste of the future glory that we will all share. Right? And it's a sign to demonstrate and reveal this divine eternal truth. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I want to key in on a couple really important things that Jesus reveals here to Martha. First, Jesus is the source of all resurrection. Martha believes that there will be a resurrection in the last day, that her brother will be raised to life again. But Jesus' statement here goes further. Right? He is also the substance of that resurrection. It's not an impersonal resurrection. It's not a general resurrection. It's not distant. The resurrection is a personal, imminent reality. It's at hand, and it is in, and it's to Jesus. That the one who holds the power of resurrection, that the only one who holds the power of resurrection is standing before her and is here to do the work that has been given to him. Jesus is the power and the means of all resurrection life. But secondly, right, Jesus is the life. Right? That he is the life that we are resurrected to. He isn't just the resurrection. He's the resurrection and he is the life. That is, we are not resurrected to eternal leisure. We're not resurrected just to eternal wealth or eternal entertainment. We are resurrected to eternal Jesus. Now, he is our way from death to life, but he is also the life that we get. It is all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about having Jesus. It's about knowing and enjoying and worshiping Jesus. Jesus says in John 17:1, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In his death and resurrection, Jesus secures for us Jesus. That he buys us back from our sin, and he gives himself to us as our ultimate treasure and our ultimate reward. He knows us, and we get to know him. And in knowing him, we find eternal life, joy, peace, comfort, and true fulfillment. And while in one sense that is a future reality at the last day when everyone rises from the dead, in another sense it is a present reality. And Jesus brings both out. First, he says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. So he's talking about someone who has already died, yet he shall in the future be alive again. And this refers to a physical whole resurrection of the dead, into physical eternal life with God forever at the end. But then Jesus says, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And so what's going on here? First, Jesus says that those who believe will die, but then later they will live again. And after this, Jesus says those who believe will never die. So what's going on there? Well, Jesus is revealing that the resurrection that he secures for those who believe is a twofold resurrection. First, Everyone who has ever repented and believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and salvation will be physically resurrected on the last day to enjoy God in his eternal presence. This is what he means when he says, though he die, yet he shall live. But second, everyone who believes in Jesus is immediately spiritually resurrected. Immediately, you have a cleansed soul. That immediately your sins are forgiven. Immediately you have a new heart that loves God. Immediately the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. And most importantly, immediately you know God. Right? This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So through the resurrection of Jesus, those who believe today know God today and have already begun to experience that eternal life in a real sense. And this will never be taken from them. Now, this is what Jesus means when he says, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. There will be no spiritual death for anyone who believes in Jesus today. So through Christ, we are spiritually alive today. We're enjoying the first fruits of eternal life with God. Though we're surrounded by sin, though we're tempted in our flesh, though we're living in a dying world, this spiritual life will never be taken from us. It is eternal. And when we die physically, we have a sure hope that we will, at the last day, be physically and totally resurrected unto eternal life with God, free from sin, free from all evil, free from all death. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Precious, precious words from our Savior, especially today. And in light of these promises, Jesus gives an invitation to Martha. He says, do you believe this? Do you believe me? Right? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And she says to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. Right? So Martha believes. But that's the whole point of the Gospel of John. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Right? So the reason that Jesus stayed 2 days before coming to Lazarus, the reason that the Father willed that he would stay 2 days, and the reason that Lazarus died is so that when Jesus came and Jesus resurrected Lazarus, Mary and Martha and the disciples and everyone around and everyone that would ever read the Gospel of John would believe, and that through belief, they might have life. We today might have life in his name. And in this, we see another one of the great signs of Jesus. Physical signs, miracles that are important in and of themselves, but are also pointing to something that's far better, far richer, far fuller, and far more lasting. Jesus feeds the 5,000, but he is the bread of life. He is the true bread. Jesus gives sight to the man born blind, but he is true sight. And in John 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead, and he uses the sign to reveal that he is the resurrection and the life, so that those who see, those who hear, would believe that his resurrection, that Jesus's power over death earned our resurrection, and that through Jesus, we would be made alive to know God. His greatest expression of love to us is giving us eternal life, and eternal life comes through faith in him. And he is risen, and because he lives, all who have faith live with him. This is a truth that we need today. So why did this happen? I don't know. But I do know this, and I know it in my bones, that Jesus is the resurrection, Jesus is the life, that he lives, and that whoever believes in him lives with him. And we grieve. Lord knows we grieve. But as we grieve, we are held up under the crushing weight of unspeakable tragedy by this rock. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. Our sister is with him now, and the day is coming where we will all be together with him in glory in his presence, and he will wipe every tear away from every one of our eyes. And so we grieve together. We cling to Jesus Christ together. We put our faith in him together. And we put our firm hope in the coming day when we will all be with him in glory. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the resurrection and life. Thank you that you died for us. Thank you that you rose from the dead for us. Thank you that you revealed this truth to us. Thank you that you gave yourself to us. You are the only rock that we can stand on right now, and thank you that you are here. When every other rock falls away, you do not. You are here. So Lord, please, help us to stand on you and you alone. Help us to trust in you and you alone. Help us to find comfort in you and you alone. Draw our eyes to you. Lord, would you pierce through the darkness of today with your light, with your promises, with your resurrection glory, with a hope that cannot be taken from us because you have secured it for us. I thank you for the life of Wren, and I thank you that you have her now. And Lord, I pray that you would give us hope and comfort as we wrestle with that reality. Help us to look to you. Help us to love you. Help us to serve you. And Lord, please, please comfort us with your presence. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.